I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I'm glad to welcome back to the studio via phone, and for the last time because the legislative session is over, State Senator for District 41, Judy Seeberger. Senator Seeberger, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, as always.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're around. I want to start off by talking about just the session in general. Now that you have that first session under your belt as a senator, I'd like to get your impressions about how the process works, seeing it from the inside, and how you felt acting as a senator for your district.
Yeah, it was really... It was a whirlwind of a process. It was a very interesting process. And it was, you know, I thought I knew what I was kind of getting myself in for, but not, it was a lot more than I think any of us thought would happen. There was so much pent up in the pipeline that we just worked so hard to get so much stuff done. And it was, it was a pretty intense last couple of weeks. But, you know, we did it. We ended on time, and we got a budget done, and we got some bonding projects done, and we got a lot of things moved through that had just been sitting and waiting for action for so long. And I'm really proud of what we accomplished.
Having been a first-time senator, a freshman senator, if you will, was there anything that really caught your attention that kind of turned out to be way different than you had perceived it to be going into it?
The amount of bipartisan cooperation was really a pleasant surprise. We, I think, get the sense from the media and being outside that it's really two different camps. And while there, you know, there are the DFLers and there are the Republicans, there is a lot of collaboration, there is a lot of bipartisanship, and there is a lot of working together. So what you might hear doesn't necessarily reflect the reality of how much we actually do work together within the Senate. And that was, like I said, kind of a nice, pleasant surprise.
Well, and that would then probably temper the way you're going to look at things coming into next year. But you said earlier that in this interview that you did get a lot of stuff done. I'd like to start with the bonding projects that came through in addition to the budget. I hear you have some news regarding the Veterans Home in Hastings and some other bonding projects. Go over those briefly, please.
We finally did get a bonding deal done, and that was a last-minute thing that we finally were able to come to an agreement on, I think within the last day or two of the session. We always had the money set aside somehow or some way to fund the Veterans Home in Hastings, whether it was going to be through bonding or a cash deal. It was always high on the governor's priority, so that was something we were going to figure out how to do no matter what. But with bonding deal, that kind of freed up and unlocked so many other projects that can get done. So in addition to the Hastings Veterans Home down at the southern part of my district toward the northern end, it also freed up about $20 million for some road work up in Lake Elmo on Highway 36 to fix a really dangerous intersection. So that was fantastic, and I know a lot of other projects throughout Minnesota were able to get funded, and particularly really desperately needed things like wastewater systems and fire stations and things like that.
All right, and so with the funding, speaking specifically about the Veterans Home in Hastings, I know that that funding then would put you in line or put the state in line to get federal backing for the balance of that. Is there any idea on the status of that federal funding and when the project might actually begin?
I don't know what the timeline is, but I do know that getting the state funding was the key to unlocking the federal funding. And I want to say the total project is going to cost somewhere in the realm of like $250 million or something like that. And it's going to be a big, big project, but so well needed. I think with this first step out of the way, now it kind of clears the way to get those federal funds unlocked and start moving forward with the planning and initial construction phases.
All right. Another project that you worked hard on and tried to get passed was the exemption for income tax for those on Social Security. And it seemed to be kind of a hot potato passed around back and forth during the whole session. What was the final turnout on that one?
The final deal was beginning following this session, now married couples that make up to $100,000 will be exempt from paying the state tax, and individuals making up to $78,000 will be exempt from paying the state tax. And that will eventually move its way up until a joint filing of $140,000. So we definitely moved the dial. Obviously, we didn't get the full elimination like we were hoping. And there was a lot of political reasons why that didn't happen. And a lot of reasons why, you know, early on we couldn't vote for the amendments on specific bills for a full elimination. We wanted a bill that would actually get signed into law and have the support and get the elimination done. So we still have a ways to go. It's something that I'm still going to fight for. I know a few of my colleagues are going to continue to fight for it too. But we definitely moved the dial. And the conversation that we had was this wouldn't have even been on the agenda. It wouldn't even have been something that we would have worked on this session had me and a few of my other colleagues not advocated so loudly for it. So we got some action, not what we had hoped, but we're not done. We have three more sessions.
Right. So this is something that you will continue to work on for the next session, I'm sure, correct?
It absolutely is, yes. Oh,
okay. Another bill that seemed to have good bipartisan support but didn't quite turn out the way that everybody had hoped was the legislation, I think it's titled Keep the Nurses at the Bedside. And there was a lot of back and forth on that one. Tell me about that a little bit, please.
Yeah, that one was something that I know the nurses and Senators Murphy and Bolden and others had been working on for the entire legislative session. It did have bipartisan support. It had a lot of momentum, but as I think folks well know, when it got closer to the end of session and when it got closer to coming up for a vote in the Senate, Mayo Clinic decided that they wanted to oppose it and threatened to pull out of the state of Minnesota if it went through as it was. And there were a lot of really tense negotiations and really difficult conversations that happened to see if we could come to an agreement. And the problem is, of course, if you have one hospital system saying we're not going to do business here if this goes through, then other hospital systems started to pile on. So it was a really difficult time. And in the end, the bill was changed so that it got rid of some of the provisions that the nurses really wanted with regard to staffing, but kept a bunch of the provisions that they also really wanted that had to do with workplace safety and that kind of thing. So was it what everybody wanted? No. Was it something that folks could live with, you know, as we closed up the session? Yes. So I think we're going to continue to have these conversations. I don't think nurses are done advocating for the workplace and what they need in the workplace, and I think we'll probably continue to work on this in future sessions.
All right. And I hope that that legislation does get improved in years to come, because it sounded like it was a really good piece, and it's unfortunate that one organization would be able to, and this is not a personal dig, but it would be able to derail the objective with something like Mayo did. That's unfortunate, and I'm sorry to see that it happened that way.
I completely agree.
On the plus side, the legislature did manage to pass some legislation talking about eliminating a minimum markup on fuel prices. Describe that a little bit for me and tell me how that's a benefit to the consumer.
Yeah, so this was a bill that was authored by Senator Rasmussen, who's a Republican, and he approached me and asked if I would be interested in co-authoring on it. And what it is in Minnesota for the last 20 years or so, we've had a minimum markup on gasoline. It's an 8-cent minimum markup. And the idea was 20 years ago to help protect kind of the small mom and pop gas stations in the face of larger gas retailers, you know, like your Holiday and your Quick Trips and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the 8-cent minimum markup was put in place, but there were a few loopholes in that that allowed some gasoline retailers to avoid that markup. And for example, if you didn't advertise the price, you didn't have to abide by that markup. So that's why when you go to Costco or to Sam's Club, you don't see what the gas price is, but the gas price is a lot cheaper. It also allowed for, like at Cub Foods, if you're in the rewards program, you get, you know, certain cents off of gas with their coupons at Holiday stations. So that bypassed the minimum markup as well. So what we've seen is we've seen sort of a convenience store type gas retail outlets really take over the landscape. And there's a lot of talk about the price of gas and that kind of thing, I thought it was a really wise idea to eliminate this minimum markup. So it gets rid of the 8-cent minimum markup. Gas will, that will free up retailers to price gas lower and result in more marketplace competition and sort of let competition drive the price, which I know is what, Republicans are always sort of in favor of. And I tend to agree in this case that it's a smart thing, too. Little good news for the consumer.
Sure. It seems to me that law then also, as an original intent, was to prevent some of the price wars that you used to see, you know, where gas stations across corners from one another would drive down prices just to get the customers. But then larger chain stations would use something like that to drive the smaller mom and pop businesses out of business. So it's good that we're kind of relooking at that mindset and adjusting things as we need. You said...
Yeah, and I will say... Mm-hmm. In neighboring states, they didn't have that markup. So we had the benefit of looking at, you know, has this really, you know, what has been the effect in other states where they don't have a minimum markup? And we really didn't see that happening in other places where small mom and pop gas stations were being driven out of business, so there were gas wars. It's not something that we saw. So we had a level of comfort that in repealing this markup, it wouldn't kind of tip the scales the other way.
Sure. And tying along directly with that, too, there was some legislation that went through regarding transportation in our state. What is the latest on that?
That was a fantastic bill, and I was so proud to vote for that. It's a wonderful transportation bill that's about 20 years in the making, and my colleague, Senator Scott Dibble, worked really, really hard on that bill. We are going to see... finally, some funding for our roadways. I don't know. I was driving through St. Paul yesterday, and there was a pothole so big, I thought I was going to lose my whole car in the pothole.
Right. Those are called sinkholes now, aren't they?
I was worried that that's what it was. But we've got finally some money that's going to be put into our infrastructure and into our roads, things that have not been invested in so long. that these changes are desperately needed. So I was so happy to vote for that. I think we'll finally see some work done that is desperately needed, and transportation issues finally start moving forward.
All right. And is any of that funding or those projects in the District 41 area that you're aware of?
There absolutely are. It spans from state highways to county trunk systems to roads and bridges. It's not just a metro thing at all. So we'll see the effects throughout District 41 when it comes to the transportation funding and other provisions of the transportation bill. So keep your eyes out, and you should start seeing some good things happening here very soon.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that myself. We just have a few minutes left, and I know the session is over at this point, but that doesn't mean you stop being a senator. And I'd like to have you tell our listeners a little bit about what you have planned as far as senatorial duties or reaching out to constituents over the summer or even working up to the next session starting in January.
Yeah, so I'm going to be out meeting constituents during the summer and the fall. I'm going to be knocking on doors and kind of talking about what we got done and what we did, answering any questions that folks might have. And it's certainly not going to be a door-knocking campaign like in the leading up to the election, but I will be out meeting with folks and answering questions and talking about the great things that we did. On Monday, I'll be down in Hastings for the Memorial Day event, and we'll be throughout the district from time to time at other events, but also at the Capitol, and folks can always get a hold of me there. I'm still around and still available to meet with folks and answer any questions they might have.
Right, and I understand that constituent questions don't automatically, pardon me, don't automatically cease with the session either. So once again, I want to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information when constituents want to get in touch with you or if they have any concerns. How do they do that?
Absolutely. They can reach me by phone at 651-297-8060 or by email at sen.jseberger@senate.mn.
All right. We've been talking a little bit with Minnesota Senator for District 41, Judy Seeberger, and at the conclusion of our session for this year. Senator Seeberger, I want to thank you for all the input that you provided over the course of the session, and we look forward to having you back when the new session starts in January.
February next year. It was January this year.
Yep. All right. Senator Seeberger, once again, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
Have you noticed that major market news outlets seem to leave out happenings in the Hastings and Prescott area? Tune in to KDWA at 1460 AM or 97.7 FM at 5 past the hour, 7 days a week to find out what's going on in your neighborhood. KDWA, since 1963, Hastings and Prescott news that makes sense.